Dark Wraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 1 for Autumn Semester 2015. Lecture 22, delivered on November 12, 2015. The title of this lecture is Component Costs of Capital.
Today, Component Costs of Capital. This is the last lecture that is new content, finishing up Chapter 13 in the textbook. And adding my own extras to it, as usual. Begin with the ways that a company can generate capital. And remember the difference, when I say the word capital, I'm referring to longer term funds to a company, in a sense. If I'm talking about very short term, I'll talk about money. I'll say money if it's something that's of immediate funds. Capital refers generally to longer term. But in terms of the ways that capital can be generated by a company, it can issue debt. Short term, like commercial paper or those working capital loans that banks set up lines of credits that you draw down in the lean months and then pay back in the bigger months, better months. Debt can also be the notes or the bonds. It's borrowed money. And then there's the other side of it. There is the equity. That is a source of capital as well. Now, equity can be divided up into preferred and common stock, preferred and common stock. As far as common stock goes, though, there are two ways to generate common equity. Well, actually, I guess that refers to preferred as well. But there is the internally generated equity, and there is the externally generated. We often think about raising money for a company by selling stock in an IPO or in a secondary public offering. But the fundamentally, the long term must be to generate money internally. In other words, sell stuff, pay your bills, and have stuff, money left at the bottom line that belongs to the shareholders. Either you give it to them as dividends or you reinvest it. Internally generated equity is one that's kind of commonly ignored when we're talking about raising money. Is there something? Is a robot going critical in here or something? Oh, that was weird. Anyway. Externally generated is the common stock that you sell and all that. The thing, God, damn, that's annoying. It's making my hind leg itch. Where is that coming from? Is that someone pacemaker? Look, everything in this life costs something. Everything costs. Nothing is free. You remember I told you that? Nothing is free. And you think to yourself, well, love is free. No, it's not. I was in the army. $25. Okay? $35 if you didn't want ugly. I saved the money for Denny's. Grand Slam, $10. Yeah. Look. These sources of capital cost. They either cost right in your face, like debt, you're paying your interest payments on it, or they cost implicitly. These shareholders that you have already out there, they are a cost to you. They are a burden to the company. If you didn't have them, you could do something else with the money. Go have a party. But because you have those shareholders, you have to do what's best for them. Give them dividends or take that money at the bottom line and plow it back into the company. They are a cost to you. And the externally generated, they're an even worse cost because at the end of the day, really, the cost of these shareholders can be measured in the stock price, by the stock price. The better your stock price, the less they really cost you. The more your stock price, the less they cost you. The less your stock price, the more they cost you. This has an extra punch on it because you don't even get the price of the shares when you raise money externally. You have to, God damn, that is bugging me. Anyway, okay. You know what?
The door
is
open up.
It's open?
Yeah.
Thank you. Still kind of concerns me what that bell is out there. Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, is that like an alarm or something? Debt. Okay, debt. The after-tax cost of debt is the before cost tax of debt times 1 minus the marginal tax rate of the company. I mean, that's not hard. What's your coupon? It's 8%. If your tax rate is 25%, then your after-tax cost of debt is 6%. I mean, there's nothing hard about the after-tax cost of debt thing. Now, the equity part is a little bit more involved. There's a general formula I showed you last time, but I can make it more specific to the components of debt, components of equity right now. The cost of preferred equity is easy. It's just it's almost like a joke. It's the dividend. Remember that a preferred dividend is permanent. It's a fixed amount of money. It's stated on the security as a percent of the par value, which is also stated on the security. So this, the preferred dividend at where you're sitting. Now, notice that this cost of debt, this cost of equity is very stable over time because your price of price of preferred stock doesn't swing wildly. It's more like debt. Bonds swing and, you know, a range maybe 105 to 95. You won't see much beyond those runs in debt. Preferred is very similar. Its price stays fairly stable. That means that your cost of preferred over time will remain fairly consistent. Now, common, the cost of common is going to be the dividend one period out divided by the price right now plus the growth rate of the dividends. Now remember that dividend one period out is the dividend right now times 1 plus G, 1 plus the growth rate. You got to bring the dividend one period forward. Watch out for this in questions on tests and quizzes. Sometimes they'll say, well, they just paid a dividend of, but sometimes they'll say, the dividend next year will be. So if they say the dividend next year will be, you've already got D1. But if they say the dividend just paid was, well, then you've got to take it out one period, 1 plus G, okay? Just keep that, remember that that thing right there. Notice that the growth rate of the dividend is going to drive the cost of capital. The higher the growth rate of your dividends, the greater your cost of capital. And also, look at this, that P0 there in the denominator. As P0 swings, and it will swing with common stock, your cost of common equity is going to whip up and down over time. Keeping that price stable is a good thing. Also, notice that as you make the price of your stock higher through your operations, through good management and stewardship, the cost of common equity does go down over time. especially over time. So as a stock begins to plummet, that can be a kind of a concern to you, because what that means is, from the company's internal operations point of view, equity is becoming more and more expensive as an opportunity cost. Now, like I said, and I'm going to write this down, the book doesn't go into this hardly at all, but the cost of new equity is a little bit nastier because the company doesn't get the price of the stock. If the stock is at $50 a share, the company gets the price minus the flotation cost. So if the brokers are charging, let's say, 10% to sell the new issue, the company's stock would, and the company's stock is $50 a share, the company gets 50 minus $5, so 45. So the cost of new equity is even nastier than the cost of existing equity. But if you've got projects that can sustain it, look, if I've got a project coming out and I know that my return on this investment, ROI on it, is, let's say, 30%, well, hell, anything, debt, equity, whatever, as long as it costs me at the margin less than 30%, I'm going to say yeah to the project. I mean, as long as the project's better than the cost of paying for it, sure, I'm going to go ahead with it. But I'm going to take this one off the board here, because the book doesn't emphasize this. This book, other books at this level do emphasize this. One other little minor point, I think I mentioned this also. You notice that I don't do that minus F part for new preferred and that minus F part for debt in any way. The reason is simple. Though preferred and debt, brokers don't charge, investment banking syndicates don't charge much at all for preferred or debt. I mean, it's simple, it's cookie cutter stuff, it's easily sold. Remember I told you the bond market is 10 times the size of the equity market. So, I mean, there's really no float involved with preferred or this, but with common, doing an IPO, God, or doing a public offering of stock of any kind, selling new stock when you want, that's expensive as hell. In terms of expense, again, debt's going to be your cheapest until you get a lot of debt, and then the bondholders are going to, then lenders are going to start whacking you hard. So for a while, debt is very cheap. Preferred, it's not all that expensive. And I mean, there are some types of companies, all they do is just stamp out preferred and sell it. Stamp out more preferred and sell it. Common is the sexy one. It's the one that you read all about IPOs and new offerings of stock by companies. But daggone, that stuff is expensive. I mean, as I think I already mentioned this, but in the real world, you've got like 8% coupon, 6% coupon debt. Your preferred might be floating out there somewhere a little above that. Common, you can see cost of equity, common equity. Your existing shareholders, their cost you maybe 20%. Your new shareholders can run you 23, 25% on the cost of equity. So it's expensive stuff. So remember what I told you. The only reason you're using equity is because at some point, you borrowed so much money that the lenders are hitting you with interest rates that turn your weighted average cost of capital upward again. Taking all that into consideration, the best way to show you, oh, and then finally, as I had pointed out before, your weighted average cost of capital, WACC, is the weight of debt times the cost, the after-tax cost of debt, plus your weight of equity times your cost of equity. Now, this one we break down into the weight of preferred times the cost of preferred plus the weight of common times the cost of common. So the first thing that you would want to do, well, one of the things you would want to do is get the total market value of all of your capital, and then figure out the weights of each part in that equation. Okay, so you get the cost of the market value of your debt, the market value of your equity, and the market value of your common. You would put those together, those three, and then you would take each one, figure out what each one's contribution was to the total. That would be your weight on each one. And I'm going to do a problem. with these, just to give you the feel of how this thing works. and then you would get your component cost of capital. So I'm going to put up a problem here. Let me say BDG has debt, preferred, and common capital. We'll start with that. Now, the debt. The debt is 6% bonds, currently selling at 104% of par. It has $50 million of these instruments out, there. Out there in the market. Okay, that's that part. The company's marginal tax rate, let me put this in there. The company's marginal tax rate is 30%. BDG preferred is $40 per share. Selling at 42, and it has 100,000 shares outstanding. It's that part. Nothing hard about, just get the information, as I've told you before. Once you have the words in front of you, just get the numbers out, and pull the numbers out. Now, BDG Common just had a dividend of 20 cents per share, with an expected growth rate of 5% per year. Rate of 5% per year. The company has 1 million shares outstanding, currently selling at $10 per share. That should be all the information we need, I hope, for this. Now, this is, I'm almost like mirroring every different, not everyone, but many of the problems on your test, online test in this one. There's a little bit of every one of them in this problem. This sort of takes the whole thing in one big shebang. And just take it through the meat grinder. First things first. Let's get our debt. the debt. First of all, let's get market values of everything here. We've got $50 million. Times 104%. So that would buy us, what the hell would that buy us? I can't do anything in my head anymore. And as I usually do, you should really do this as well. Hey, I got a coupon. Oh, anyway. 1.04 times 50 million is 52 million. So we got 52 market value. And these are market values. Totals of each of the component costs of capital. So there's 52 million right there. Now, equity. We've got the preferred. Preferred, we've got $42 per share times 100,000 shares. So that is going to buy us $4.2 million right there. And then finally, so there's your preferred. And now for your common. What the hell is common? Okay, I've got 1 million shares of common. Whoops, 1 million shares times, what's the price per share? 10. So there is $10 per share is the market price. So that would buy us $10 million more in market value of capital. There they are, the three components of capital. They're the three components of capital. Add those up, and you get the market value of the capital of the company. So if I add these up, 52, that's, well, let me do this instead of trying to do it in my head and getting in trouble. 52 plus 4.2 plus 10. So the total value of the equity outstanding, of the capital outstanding, is $66.2 million. That is the market value of the assets of the corporation. Because remember, debt plus equity equals assets. We've just found the market value of the total assets of the company. That would essentially be like a place to start if you were going to consider bidding for this company. What would a reasonable price be? Well, the market says that what you've got there is a $66.2 million company. In a way, in a sense. So now the next part of this is just to get the weights of each of these components. So the weights of them would be nothing but I would take 52 million divided by 66.2 million. These are the weights. This would be the weight of debt in the capital structure, W sub D. And then I would take 4.2 million. Can you see that? 4.2 million divided by the 66.2 million. That would be the weight of preferred. And then I would take the 10 million divided by the 66.2 million. And that would be the weight of common. I've got all the weights. Now, you might want to do this a different way, but notice how I've got sort of like this pattern that I do these. First, I get my market values of each piece. Then I get my total market value. Then I divide each component by the total, and I buy my weights. That gets a major part of the problem out of the way. Just sort of like do it like a machine. Don't think about what you're doing. Just get this part done. You got your weights done at this point. Actually, I suppose I should calculate those, considering I've done them. I'm going to do it over here. I'm going to get my weight of debt. The weight of debt is 4.52 divided by 66.2. And that's, really? Seriously? Boy, this is a hellaciously leveraged company. And that will be four decimal places, 0.7855. So this is a heavily leveraged company. It's got more than 3/4 of its assets are debt. And the weight of preferred, that's going to be a very minor part, which is oftentimes the case unless you're talking about companies that use preferred as their typical source. I've got 4.2. It's going to be less than 10% divided by 66.2. And that's 6.03634, about 6%, a little more than 6% preferred. And then my weight of equity would be weight of common. Would be 10 divided by 66.2, which is 15.11%, 0.1511. These should add up to be 1.0000. You might want to do that. I'm not going to do it here, but typically if I'm actually doing this in practice, I add these up just to make sure that I didn't make a calculation mistake. You got your weights. Now we get our component costs of capital. The cost of the debt is easy. Cost of debt after taxes is going to be the cost of debt before taxes, which is 6% times 1 minus the marginal tax rate of the company, 0.30. So the cost of debt to this company, and I'll write it over here. These are the weights, and these are the costs. The cost of debt would be, 4.2%. That's the cost of debt to the company. Low. Notice it's a low number. Now the cost of equity of preferred, your dividend. Whoa. I didn't announce a dividend. Okay, the dividend on the stock. Okay. Dividend is, I'll be darned, $3 per share. I never told you what the dividend was on this. I knew I was going to forget something. So the dividend, so the cost of the preferred is going to be the dividend, $3, divided by the market price, $42. All you do. It's really easy. Just take the dividend that's paid on the preferred divided by the current market price of the preferred, and that would give you. Is it that hard for this thing to stay on for like 5 seconds? Anyway, would be 3 divided by 42. Is 7.14%. Now, when you're doing these, keep at least four ideally 6 decimal places when you're doing these in, for a calculation. As I've noticed, your grading system is really a bitch about your tolerance error. So there you go. Now for the big 800-pound gorilla. The 800-pound gorilla is this cost of common. I'm going to erase some of this here on the board here now so I can do this one up in front of you. The cost of the common. Remember that the formula is R sub C is going to be the dividend one period out divided by the current price of the stock plus the growth rate of the dividends. Now here's where you have to check the problem. Did they say that this was just a dividend that was just paid, in which case you have to grow it by one period, or did the problem say that this is the dividend next year? I'll even give you a hint. If I'm remembering right, on the online test for this, they tell you, I think, that this is the dividend that will be paid in 1 year. But it might be, if you get the randomization, if it randomizes, the next one might say that it's the one that was just paid. But in our case, the dividend that was described was the one that was just paid, has just paid a dividend of 20 cents per share. So what we have to do is take that 20 cents per share and grow it one period to see what D1 is. We aren't going to get by with just being able to see the dividend right off the bat, D0 times 1 plus G. So in this case, the dividend is actually going to be, for the formula, 21 cents. And you think, well, that's not much of a difference. Yeah, it'll make a difference when you get your component in the final number. So now we can do R sub C. It will be D1... 0.21 divided by the current market price of the stock, which is $10 per share, plus the growth rate of 0.05. Make sure you do the decimal version, 0.05. Don't use 5%, just 0.05. And if you crank that out, seriously, 20.21 divided by 10 plus 0.05. 7.1%. Is that right? Huh. Got a cost of common equity. It's a little lower than the cost of preferred. Oh, 7.10%. There you go. And finally, at the end of this, the weighted average cost of capital would be 0.7855 times 4.20% plus 0.0634 times 7.14% plus 0.1511 times 7.10%. There's your weighted average cost of capital. Now, it looks like this is a lot of work, but it's fortunately just arithmetic. There's nothing complicated. Your big problem, like I always have, is just making an arithmetic mistake and then blowing the number or rounding too much before you get to your final answer. But if you were to flog that thing out, 0.1511 plus 0.0634 times, well, let me do this straight up, 0.7855 times 4.2 plus 0.0634 times 7.14 plus 0.1511 times 7.10, 4.82%. So the weighted average cost of capital comes out to be 4. Rounded to two decimal places, 8.2%. Notice something interesting here, that I didn't quite mean, I wrote one of the numbers down wrong from memory, but it still came out with something important. Notice that as in this company, where this company sits right now, it is a heavily leveraged company. And notice that the weighted average cost of capital, as a result, is leaning toward the cost of debt. What would happen over time is eventually the company's leverage could get it into the to the point where lenders are saying, never mind that coupon of 6%. We're going to have to jack you up to 8%, 10%. So if they started issuing senior subordinated or junior bonds, those interest rates would start to go up. The marginal cost of capital would begin to rise. And that weighted average cost of capital would start going up because they were leaning so heavily toward debt. So later in the life of this company, it might get to the point where it's better for the company to start considering leaning more toward that preferred stock, which seems to be pretty cheap, and toward common stock. So this is a company that's probably in its younger years leveraged heavily, and as time goes on, it would start thinking more about getting long-term owners, more equity owners into the company. But right now, it's getting debt pretty darn... I mean, look at this cost of debt for the company, 4.2%. That won't last forever. With a company that heavily leveraged, they're going to start issuing debt instruments in the future, and the underwriters are going to say, you got to issue these at like 8, 10%. Because, I mean, you've got investors that are going to get really worried about, can you pay your interest payments or not? And that's the next thing that comes about from this. But first of all, that's... basically, the whole nine yards of the calculation side of Chapter 13, cost of capital and the component cost of capital. You saw the whole thing there. But there's something else that is going on in here as well. And it returns us to something that is an earlier subject, but I hadn't brought up this particular point yet. But it allows me to revise and revisit one last time the idea of cost in a company. The company has several different... we can talk about cost in all kinds of ways. Short-term costs, long-term costs, cost of debt, cost of equity, cost of preferred, cost of common, cost of internally generated versus externally generated. These get us a little deeper in. Now you're at the end of 240, FIL 240, so you can see the deeper end of it. But there's a reason we might want to go back to the beginning of this. When you think about a company, and this comes from economics, and I mentioned this very early in the course, costs on a larger level, and I'm actually talking about speaking as a business person myself, I can do all of these, and I do these. This is what finance people do. Accountants do this kind of stuff too, to a certain extent. But when you're actually conducting a business, you think about cost in your day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month life in a way that is better captured in your economics course. The difference between your variable costs and your fixed costs. Those variable costs are those ones that move up and down with your sales. And the fixed costs are the ones that are there, whether you have a sale or not. And if you remember, what was I thinking here? Revenue, I can still hear that sound. It's beginning to give me like a little twitch here. Revenue minus your cost of goods sold brings about gross income. And then minus your selling, general, and administrative expenses, and then minus your depreciation, brings you down to the operating income. Now remember the other term for operating income, the one that, I don't know, You'll hear me use it more than perhaps others do these days. EBIT, earnings before interest and taxes. They're the same thing, just different ways of saying the same thing. And then you subtract off your interest expense. And you get your earnings before taxes, EBT. Subtract off your taxes, and you get your net income. This is the accountant's way of doing it, but it's also something that we would think about in terms of finance and in terms of my real life as a business person, a creator and seller of art, which I do when I'm not in here with you great people. Look, cost of goods sold is a variable cost. It swings up and down with your sales. I get an order for something to produce. I get an order on my online store, let's say. And okay, they want this print in this mat with this frame. And I put it together. This cost is directly attached to this sale. If I don't have the sale, I don't have the cost. If I have the sale, I have the cost. If the sale is for a big thing, the cost is higher. If the sale is for a small thing, the cost is lower. It varies. It swings, ebbs and flows with it. These costs aren't going to hurt me. These kinds of costs are the ones that I love. And that's why there are companies that are service companies. They like to be service companies because all they have are variable costs. If I have a job, I have costs. If I don't have a job, I don't have costs. But then you come down to costs that are nasty. Selling general and administrative costs, I pay those whether or not I have a sale. They are fixed costs. They are the ones like the rent that I pay for gallery space in my business. They're the ones that a manufacturing pays for its factory, for you as a worker. Whether or not I have, you're one of my junior executives, God knows why we hired you, because you've really disappointed us, but we still have to pay you your salary, whether we have a lot of work or not a lot of work. These union contract people like you, I have to pay you. Whether I have good sales on my cars or bad sales, you're a union man. I have to give you your 40 hours of work. Unless I go to a lot of trouble to lay you off and get bitched at and all that. And that can cost, too, to lay people off. The rent, your lights, all your utilities, your internet connections, your software that you've bought, that's all fixed. Now, this depreciation thing, that's accounting crap. But it does represent something that is a fixed cost, a massive investment. I build a factory. I buy a new car that's got a big thing in the back so I can carry my artwork. That depreciation kind of is a faint hint of a nasty, huge underlying cost that's fixed. It's going to be there. And then this bitch right here, interest. Yeah, I pay my interest whether I have a dollar of sales or not, because the bondholders are going to come and bother me in very nasty ways if I don't pay them. It's fixed whether my sales are up or down. It's fixed. And if I don't pay it, they shoot my dog, sell my Bible on Craigslist, and make my mama wear furry costumes. That's how bad they are. So that's the downside of debt, is that it's there. Now, taxes, interestingly enough, are a variable cost. You make more taxable income, you pay more taxes. You make less taxable income, you pay less taxes. One little thing that really, really... we have a progressive tax system. You've heard that, you know. Higher corporate taxes. Did you know that the tax rate goes to 39%, but at the very largest taxable incomes, it drops back to 34%? That really rotates my ass, because the giant companies out there in this universe pay a lower tax rate
34% than companies that are somewhat smaller. It's like, oh, we do that because they have these, there are these tax things we have to correct for. Bullshit! Those giant, huge, mega international corporations, they're buying you off to get a lower tax rate. Anyway, let me not go into that. But here's the deal. Cost of goods sold is a variable cost. SG&A, in its own way, depreciation, are fixed costs. Interest expense is a fixed cost. Taxes are a variable cost. So you recall what I said, and this is something that I would ask on an exam. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Why is debt cheaper than equity? Because debt is a lower risk investment for lenders, because they get claimed first from the perspective, and so it's cheaper from the company because the lenders aren't going to ask as much as stockholders would as far as return on investment. Also, from the company's perspective, it's cheaper because its interest expense is tax deductible. Dividends aren't. So though clearly, debt, at least for some period of time in a company's capital structure, bile. Okay. Where the hell was I? Oh, okay. Debt is a cheaper source of capital. Remember that thing I said, the lower the risk, the lower the expected return. Well, there is actually a dark side to that. Because, yes, these debt instruments, their lower return represents lower risk, but it represents lower risk to the investors, to the lenders. Not lower risk necessarily to the company, and I'm going to show you why not here in a minute. I need you, first of all, to come up here if you would like to volunteer. You don't? You're sure? You're sure? Okay, fine. I will have to find someone else who is equally able to do this kind of thing for me. Let me see if I can find someone. You. Come here. Come here. Come here. Yeah, you've been an asshole all semester. No, we have. Well, yeah, yeah. Come here. Okay. This is Mr. Variable Cost. This is a rubber chicken. Now, I want you to take a hold of this. Not like you're choking, man. Oh, there. Okay. Okay, now, Mr. Variable Cost ebbs and flows with my revenues. I'm Mr. Revenue. So, I want you to flow with me, okay? Revenues grow. No, come on. Revenues grow. No, don't move. Just let Mr. Chicken do everything. Revenues grow. Now, revenues fall. Revenues grow. Revenues fall. Dot, dot, da, 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 da. Dot, da, 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 da. Thank you. Now you. This is Mr. Fixed Cost. Unlike Mr. Variable Cost, Mr. Fixed Cost can't dance. He can't dance. He really can't dance, and he really wants to dance, but he can't dance. So I want you to grab. Now, you don't move. You're fixed. Okay. Da, 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 da. See what he's doing to me? He's tearing me up. Da, 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 da. Release. Look at this chicken now. This chicken doesn't even have any stuffing anymore. Look. Look. You can sit down now.
The fixed cost created volatility at the bottom line. It was swinging me back and forth hard. The variable cost, it was so smooth. We were such a team. We danced the night away. You're wearing red? Lady in red was dancing with me. Never mind the cheek to cheek. Okay. But the point was that what happened with you is nothing. It was not creating any stress, any strain on Mr. Chicken. Look at how happy Mr. Chicken was when we talk about that time, that night we had together. But you, look at this. You pulled the stuffing out of the damn chicken. I was swinging back and forth hard. Now, what this tells you about companies is this, that as they incur fixed costs, they create volatility. They create stress. They pull the company's net income back and forth harder and harder as those fixed costs increase. That's why I will get rid of you as a worker that I have to pay every day and worry about quality of life concerns and your family and all that crap. And I can hire you as an outsourced loser from Toledo, and I can pay you when I need you, and I don't have to pay you when I don't need you. Turn a fixed cost into a variable cost. You see why we do this? Why we outsource is because we are converting fixed costs to variable costs. We are removing volatility. Now look at these companies like Microsoft with its 365. You rent it. You don't buy the shrink wrap, you rent it. You carry the fixed cost. Microsoft moves it off its shoulders and it puts it on you that you are stuck with a fixed cost for the rest of your life. Adobe pulled the same stunt a few years back. Oh, we're going to subscription. What they're doing is putting a fixed cost on you forever. I have to pay rent, that's a fixed cost, so that whether your income is up or down, you're stuck with that. Your cell phone is a fixed cost that is carrying on you, whether you've got a good job or you lose your job, you still have to pay that if you still want to get those text messages from that hot babe, who really isn't. I mean, she's actually a 42-year-old woman who lives in South Memphis, but I'm not going to tell you about that. You think that Snapchat is real? It ain't. Anyway. Your internet expense is a fixed cost. I can't do without my internet. That's right. You are bearing fixed costs, which increase the volatility at the bottom line, adding risk to you. And in the same way, a company is lured toward debt because it is a cheaper cost of capital. It looks like it. It looks for all the world like this is the greatest thing in the world. Just like it looks for all the world like the greatest thing in the world the first time you can pull out your credit card and buy something without any upfront cost, until you start realizing that every month for the rest of your miserable life, you will be stuck with a payment. Whether you have the money to pay it or not, you will be stuck with a payment. That's the last lesson of this course. Listen to Mr. Chicken. Watch out for fixed costs. They can take the stuffing out of you. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.